Good morning to each of you. It's good to be here. This morning, I would like to provoke us. Sorry. I know we always kind of look at provoking as a bad thing, but in Hebrews, it tells us to provoke one another to love and to good works. And so that's what I'd like to do this morning. So one of the things, one of the last things that Jesus shared with his disciples and with all of us before his death, it seemed like it was a burden on his heart, and that was that we would love one another. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you must also love one another." And he didn't, it was not a suggestion, but a command. And so I have a bunch of verses I was going to go through, just kind of quickly read through them, just to kind of establish in our hearts and minds the importance of loving one another. And I get all of them. I just got some. So the first one would be in John 15, verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." In verse 17, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." Romans 13, verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Galatians 5, 13 and 14. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Ephesians 5, verse 2. "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Colossians 2, verse 2. "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, and of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledging of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." First Thessalonians 3, verse 12. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do towards you." Hebrews 13, verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue." James 2, verse 8. "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." First Peter 1, verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." also 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. First John 3:11. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then verse 23, and this is his commandment, that ye should believe on the name of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And then 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I know there's a lot more verses that talk about love. I just had a few there. And so I just wanted to kind of establish that it's like the foundation of for the believer. And so why is love so important? Why does he make such a... He repeats it over and over, and it's not just a suggestion, it's a command. So one of the things I found was in John 13, verse 35, it says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. So... If we love one another, it's a testimony to the world that we are his disciples. And I think sometimes we get it kind of wrong. We think the world knows that we're his disciples by other things, maybe what we wear or whatever. But it's by our love for one another. And it's also a confirmation to the believer. If we love one another, it says in 1 John 3, verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother remains in death. So it's a testimony to the world, and it's a confirmation to the believer if we love one another. And so now I was going to go into 1 Corinthians 13 a little bit, and that kind of goes in a little more in depth. What does that love look like? So in chapter 12, he talks about the gifts he gives to the church. The gifts of teaching, the gifts of healing, miracles, speaking in tongues. Those are gifts. And the one thing that kind of stood out to me is you can say, I don't have the gift of teaching, but you can't say, I don't have the gift of love. Because God gives gifts, the gifts of teaching, the gifts of prophecy, miracles. I don't know the whole list there, but love is not a gift. It's a command. It's something that every believer is expected to have. And if we don't have it, maybe we should search our hearts, see where we are. So 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So if there would be somebody come in here right now that could do miracles, that could heal somebody that was crippled, that could speak to a mountain and have it moved into the sea, that could understand all mysteries, there's nothing hidden from him, what would we think of him? Would we look at him and those are good things. I'm not downplaying that at all. Those are definitely things that God gives as gifts to the church for the edifying of the body. But he's saying here, if we don't have love, then all those things are useless. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. So it's possible for us to give everything we have, to give it all away, and even sacrifice ourselves for a cause, for our religion or whatever. But if we don't do it out of a heart of love, it says it profits us nothing. And so now, this the next couple of verses kind of describe what does that love look like and what is it not. So it says love is patient. The Greek word means long-suffering. It indicates the ability, the mind, to endure injuries, wrongs, and harsh words and actions from others without resentment or striking back. This was seen throughout Christ's life and most clearly at the time of his trial and execution. Love is kind. This means active helpfulness to others, even to those who do not deserve it. So I found myself before, I feel like people don't deserve something, or they don't, and so I don't want to help. That's not the example that Christ left us. Love does not envy. Envy is to experience pain or resentment at the success or popularity or possessions of others. This feeling was completely foreign to love and Christ was never guilty of it. And Christ's followers must endeavor to keep themselves from it. Love does not promote itself. Love much prefers to promote others or to boast about others. Is that us? Is that how I live? Do I much prefer to boast about others, lift others up? Love is not puffed up or proud. Love never seeks for applause from others. It is not conceited, but humble and modest. This humble love is seen to perfection in Christ's life. It does not act rudely or improperly or disgracefully. Love will never act in a way that brings disgrace or dishonor to anyone. It will never behave in a way in which it could ever be ashamed. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not after anything the world values highly, not money or possessions or fame or power or applause. It is not greedy. It seeks only the good of others. We see this in Christ. We should see this also in his followers. Not easily provoked means not swift to take offense. Is not quick-tempered. This does not mean that love is inconsistent with deep and terrible anger against sin. God is love. Okay, I'll leave that. It does not rejoice in wickedness, but rejoices in the truth. So that's a list of things that love is not. In verse 7, it talks about things that love is. Love bears all things. The Greek word also means to protect or to preserve by covering. Love bears anything that might come. It is a shield to cover and protect. It believes all things. Love does not believe every lie or tall story men tell. It does not believe the heresies or false teachers. It does not believe what the devil says. This is not the meaning. Love rejoices in the truth, so can recognize the truth. It is not sensual, naive, or blind, but by nature it is not suspicious and cynical, but trusting. It is ready to give the benefit of the doubt to people. So love is not just gullible and believes everything that comes along. That's not what it means. But it means to look for the best, or to, I guess it worded it right there. It is trusting and not cynical. It's not suspicious. You know, do we ever find ourselves being suspicious of others? It hopes all things. Love is not easily discouraged. Failure does not crush it. It can hope when there seems no ground for hope. It believes the grace of God can reach any person and transform any situation. It endures all things. Are we willing to endure all things? Love never fails, but if there are prophecies, they will fail. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So I guess that's about all I had, really. I just want us to. I just want us to see the importance of loving one another. And remember, it is how the world knows that we're His disciples. And it's it's like a gauge that we have in our lives to see where we are as a Christian. So I'll just close with that, and God bless you all.